You're listening to Around Comics, episode 88.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo.
You got yo again?
Yo.
What do you want?
Hi. Hello.
Is it any wonder why
greetings and salutations.
Like every yo. Single time because you start with a
hey,
yo.
Hey, what's up? I don't know. Hey, hi. It's me, Sal. Nobody knows my...
Nobody. Listeners.
Yes. Greetings and salutations.
Welcome to our extravaganza.
Nobody knows who I am anyway. I never get mentioned. Nobody knows even what I sound like. Everybody just thinks I'm Chris anyway.
Yeah.
So. What the hell difference does it make what I say?
Sort of like the Unknown Soldier podcast.
Yeah. Whatever.
I salute you.
Yo, God.
You
why, thank you.
Don't tell the ego.
Who's buried in Sal's tomb, you know?
And, of course, our other co-host. Mr. Tom Cavers.
Salutations!
There you go.
How's tax season going, big boy?
Sucks.
Yeah?
Big time. I would like to remind everyone, file your taxes on time, or you can e-file an extension. It's a 4868 form if you check out IRS.gov.
Why?
Tax tip.
Thank you for that public service announcement.
It is not an extension to pay, though. You will pay interest.
Damn it!
Oh, God, I'm already bored.
Whoa. You haven't been here the last 3 hours, my
friend. Yeah. Waiting.
You're just now getting bored.
Well, it's a little behind-the-scenes trick for everyone.
Damn it.
We actually record Thursday's episode first, so...
Give me the bourbon.
Yeah, here you go.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
I can't wait for the Foley artist to get the bourbon sound down.
Glug, 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 glug.
Well, folks, this is one of our news
I love
and
bourbon.
Reviews
bourbon
episodes.
Good.
And
bourbon,
I would like to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable. And then you spot it, that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. For a store near you, visit www.borderstores.com or use the Border Store locator at aroundcomics.com.
We were just at the Oak Park location.
We certainly were. I picked up Scott McCloud's Making Comics. Is that his newest
Making
book?
Comics,
Making
yes.
Comics, that's which I didn't haven't started reading it yet, but it looked fascinating.
And I bought a novel.
A novel.
Was it a Greg Rucka novel?
Brett
it was,
Meltzer.
Wasn't it?
No.
I already own those. Times.
It was James Bond.
I bought Men of Tomorrow, which I'm gonna read while I'm on vacation.
Roger Jones.
Yes. And I did buy Casino Royale.
Bond.
Nice.
Chicken Nut Stud.
And I used my Around Comics.
I was born in the city.
Oh God.
Sorry.
No. Okay. Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics.
Or 10:45.
It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Just like Hank. Hank's
hey,
here
Hank.
Again tonight. How's it going, Hank?
Hey.
Hi.
We never talk to Hank. He comes like every week, and we never have him on the show.
Hank's parents are going to be like pounding on the door in a few minutes. Like, Hank, it's time to come home.
Thank God he wasn't here last week with all the whore talk that was prevalent.
All the highlighted whore talk.
Yes, it was.
We made a choice. We made a creative decision.
We must.
I think we
must
all paid a price for it.
I think you're right. I'm still paying.
Well, folks, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, this is one of our news and reviews episodes. Would like to make a special note that our news is provided by Comic Book Resources. They are a fantastic source for comic book news, everything that's going on in the industry. You can find that at aroundcomics.com, or you can go to comicbookresources.com. And that'll lead us in. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
All right, right from the top is Details.
From Fabio Moon and Gabriel.
That's my bad southern accent. Details.
Details.
Since it's being created by people from South America, I'm sure we're pronouncing it wrong.
Details.
Details?
Yeah, you're not even pronouncing the colon.
The colon.
Not even close.
Well, hey,
this is an interesting book. I remember...
It's a top 10, whatever it is.
I think it was Matt Fraction had brought this book up to us a while back because of Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba, the brothers with different names, who are working on
this. Brothers from different mothers?
Brothers from different mothers, brother. What's up? But it seems like it's finally coming out.
Actually, it's from a Dark Horse Comics, and it came out in 2006.
Good guess.
So,
it has been included on the top 10 list.
Damn, I meant to pick this up.
the Urban Brazil in the book list
out.
Top 10 graphic novels 2007. So, anything from Gabriel Ba is going to grab my attention. Fabio Moon
by the nads.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is what it's gonna do.
I feel a certain affinity with this book because in high school, one of my friends had a Brazilian exchange student live with him for like a year, and it was amazing to listen to his stories about living in urban.
Living
Brazil.
In
Brazil.
Brazil.
South America.
We called him Foreskin.
Oh, God.
Why?
Huh. No, yeah, don't ask that, Sal. Are you crazy?
It sort of rhymed with foreign. And he was not circumcised.
Oh, all right.
You had to go there. So
next story.
Why else? We called him Foreskin. It was ironic, like Little John. Because he didn't have foreskin, you know?
All right, we have...
Thank you so much for explaining that.
We have received a preview of Daredevil number 96.
When did we start putting... You can't put a preview in a podcast about news.
I'm going to explain to you guys the first panel four panels. Here we go.
Go for it, Tom.
Hell's Kitchen. I'm going to rob you. No! And then...
Theater for the Mind.
Yeah. You just broke the fourth wall, Sal.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, if you want to read that,
go to Around Comics.
No, I just wanted to mention that the last issue of Daredevil reintroduced an old favorite, and so
the Gladiator.
Yeah,
one of my favorite. Yeah, he's a great character, and you know, Brubaker just keeps bringing back the. In both Cap and Daredevil characters. But the interesting thing, too, is that it's also like, you know, Daredevil's back in Hell's Kitchen.
I feel like for the first time
since Brubaker's written him.
I feel like he
found himself in Europe. He went on a backpacking excursion.
Yeah. He went on holiday.
Well, I did that.
I feel like the last arc that Brubaker did was really kind of cleaning up what Bendis left him, because they had worked on that handoff.
He knew
it
was coming.
I feel like Daredevil 95 really kind of started the first truly Brubaker Daredevil arc. So
sure.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
I see what you're saying.
That's why I put it in.
Okay.
I understand you.
Next story.
The BPRD Killing Ground has been announced, and is this the one that starts BPRD as a monthly series?
It might be.
I know that
Abe Sapien, says Tom. I like Abe Sapien.
I
love Abe. I like all the BPRD cast. I was kind of surprised at first when that book first started coming out. I was like, spin-off of Hellboy. I really like Hellboy. I want to see
what
Hellboy.
What was the greatest thing about the Hellboy comics? It was...
Hellboy.
Yeah. And, you know, his supporting cast, while they were great, I don't know if it was...
Weren't sure if they were able to carry their own book, but they did it in miniseries, and they sure did. But now, will they be able to carry a monthly? Well, we'll see.
Yeah. So I'm going to get it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question.
Well, what I love about BPRD is that, for me anyway, it is seeing Guy Davis's art on a continuing series. I loved his stuff on Sandman Mystery Theater, and I think a lot of people talked about Guy Davis taking over, you know, a Hellboy themed book and didn't really know how it would work, and I think he has been an absolutely perfect fit on that series. So it'll be interesting.
Been good.
Another thing on the preview that we saw, the cover, I noticed that Roger is on the cover, so I don't know if that
was just me.
Oh, that was just
yeah, I couldn't find an actual picture of the killing
you
cover.
You tricked me.
Yeah, I did. You know, I was actually going to put something on the site about that because I thought it might confuse people. I was like, why is Roger... because that's not the actual cover. That's a cover to a trade for... Plague or something. Yeah, I don't remember which one is.
You confused me because I love Roger as a character, and I was really.
That's why I did it.
Yeah. Next story, we have a great contributor at AroundComics.com.
His name is Tom Kaday.
You contributed one fucking story over.
Oh, I love you, Tom. Talk about the story that you contributed this last week.
I was
pleased.
Oh, please. I did something. I should be lauded and congratulated. A modicum of effort.
For finally doing something.
I was supposed to write a review of Heart of Empire, but I started writing it, and it got so involved that I said, fuck it. And I was like, I'm just going to write something different. So I wrote about a bunch of non-superhero books that I've read lately. And Hank told me that he actually bought his brother blankets, and his brother loved it.
Wow.
Based on...
On your review.
Yeah, and the fact that Craig Thompson made a really good book, but mostly based on the fact that I told him.
The so, power that you wield
let's not
is amazing.
Divvy up. I'm comfortable with 51% me, 49% Craig Thompson's talent. So
I'm fine with that.
Let's
not an issue with
microscope
that.
To that. That's the magic of... fun as it happens.
So you the long and short of it, you wrote a very nice column about comics that are not capes.
Superhero. Mm.
So, which was very good. But we have another contributor at Around Comics, and his name is Keith Cunningham. And just want to let everyone know that he did a very fun interview with Sean McKeever. Keith's been doing a series of 20 questions with, and it's been with a variety of creators and notable entertainers.
Just people, anyone involved. You know, a lot of different people involved in the industry in one way or another. And mm-hmm. and Keith's done a great job of putting these 20 question interviews together and giving us some more insight into these people.
I love the fact that you talked to Sean McKeever, because my favorite interview of all time that we've ever done was the one at the New York Con where Sean McKeever talks about doing algebra before he goes to bed at night. I just think it's the best
scary man.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Okay, next story. Tales from the Crypt is rising from the grave.
Yes.
The original EC Comics Goolunatics presents new stories in art by award-winning creators.
That's the hardest word on the planet to say.
Goolunatics. Not
I talked
EC
with
Comics, but Tales from the Crypt is coming back.
Salcrip? Jim Salicrup?
I'm going to go with that.
He's working with, or he's the guy behind Paper Cuts, who puts out the Nancy Drew stuff. And then I ran into him at the New York Con. And I noticed they had like this preview of this EC Comics. I'm like, wow, you're bringing back, you know, Tales from the Crypt. And they're like, yeah. So it's I saw the preview pages of it, and it's kind of interesting what they're trying to do with it. It looks like they're trying to make it more of an all ages.
Yeah, the art. Quite frankly, the art was underwhelming on the previews that I saw. I'll give it a try just because I love EC Comics and I love Tales from the Crypt.
And I think they're going to have different people working on it, so mm-hmm. the first few pages that we saw may not be indicative of everything that's going to be in there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they will keep, you know, the original EC Comics sensibilities and you know, that style in mind, at least to some degree. I mean, I can understand not wanting to, like, just redo it, because why bother? It was done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are you're going to do it better? I don't think so, but you could do it different and try and maybe bring EC Comics to a different, you know, age group, a different generation.
There are
of people.
a lot of comics out there that, you know, we talk about it quite a bit, of this has a great EC sensibility
sure.
to it. And to, you know, do a Tales from the Crypt, you know, I think that you have to keep that EC sensibility, but you have to put kind of a new spin to it. So we'll see what Paper Cuts is able to do and pull that off.
Speaking of that great EC feel, something I wanted to mention has nothing to do with the news, but I think it was last week or the week before, a book came out that was a tribute to John Romita Jr.
Yes.
From Marvel, and it was one of these, you know, sort of oversized.
They were going to say overpriced.
No, well.
A lot of reprint material.
There was a lot of reprint. Actually, it was almost all reprint material,
except
the first story in it is written by Neil Gaiman, and the pencils, the artwork in it is done by our friend Hilary Barta, and it's the only original material other than like sketch. There's some, you know, like sketchbook stuff from John Romita stuff. But if you get a chance, take a look at it. Hillary's a great guy and a fantastic artist, and
it's a great huge.
Well, now I feel bad that I said the overpriced thing.
See, nice going, Dick.
That's a total Dick move.
Dick
on
move,
part.
And
sorry.
Talk
Hillary.
About it, it, Hillary's Hillary's a mom. huge fan of EC Comics, and you can tell from, you know, the style that he used in this book that it's very EC-ish.
Very Wallywood.
Yeah, very Wallywood. He's a big fan of that stuff.
Hillary's going to be dropping by in a couple weeks, maybe?
Yeah, Hillary is going to come by when you're gone, when you're on your honeymoon.
Well, I'm on a beach.
Hillary's going to come by.
It's going to be you, me, and Hillary?
It's going to be me, you, and Hillary, Tom. And we're kind of just, you know, freewheeling. We don't even have...
I like Hillary.
I think we're going to talk a little bit about life as a freelancer and see where that brings us. But we'll have fun with Hillary for sure.
You guys will end up talking about a million.
Alan Moore.
Probably.
While you're gone. I think Hillary said we're going to call him. He was going to call Alan Moore when he was here.
I hate you.
Hello.
Robotica has been nominated for a Book of the Year award.
It sure has.
It's ASP. they've been
Arcadia.
Nominated for a Forward
ASP
magazine.
Or ASP,
as we said for many episodes.
Yeah, thanks. That was my bad. But Forward Magazine has nominated Robotica as a Book of the Year. Now, Sal, you've read Robotica?
Yeah, I have the hardcover of it. It's an amazingly gorgeous book. The art is fantastic. It's wild. It's sort of a futuristic story with a samurai and all sorts of craziness. Very sci-fi. The art is gorgeous. The story itself is a little hard to kind of tack down. I mean, it's so kind of wild and out there at times it gets a little confusing on what exactly is going on, but it's definitely worth checking out. It just for the art alone, it's fantastic.
All right. Postcards. We have been hearing about this book.
Everybody's on this book.
GB Tran.
It's like everybody. GB Tran, Phil Hester.
Is GB Tran's?
Yeah,
he's doing so. Who does the fantastic content?
I went to his website and he had a link to it. Maybe he just likes it.
Well, Micah,
where did we first hear?
We heard about the
was it Andy?
I think it was Phil Hester. When we first talked to Phil Hester, who was like
episode 10.
Yeah, he said he was that was. He said he was working
episode
on this
episode
11 then.
For you historians. I know you're out there, computers.
It's been talked about for a long time. We heard about it a long time ago, and it's getting a lot of buzz now. It's an amazing concept for a book. It's basically the
greatest stories never told.
Yeah, it's about
real life stories never told.
Postcards that people found, and now they're writing the stories that kind of go with these postcards.
I've talked about this before. I think something else for someone's reason.
There was a band.
Trachtenberg family. Band where they
right.
buy estate sale slides and then write songs about them. And this sort of reminds me of that. And I think it's really fun because one of the great things in sort of being creative is sometimes the hardest thing is to start with nothing. So if you even get a little bit of something, you can come up with a great idea from it.
Sure.
And so you look at a postcard or you look at, you know, something.
For inspiration.
Yeah.
Well, what they're doing now, mm-hmm. Postcards is actually having a contest. for you to write a story based on a postcard, and it's here's sort of the inspiration is on September 27th, 1909, Charlie Frost of Mandale, Ohio, sent a postcard to Mrs. Eva Billman of Muskingum County, Ohio. Charlie wrote, "Dear friend, where did Mother go when she left your place? We have not heard from her for over 3 weeks, and we did not know where to write to. We thought likely you would know. Charlie Frost." So do you know where Charlie's mother went? If so, tell the postcards team in 100 words or less before April 18th by sending an email to charlie@eximiouspress.com. And you can win... what are they giving away for this? I don't think they announced what they were giving away as the award, but it's...
All sorts of cool stuff.
I think original art they're giving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. It's original art.
It's a Gatos page.
It's a Gatos page of original. And there's just Harvey Pekar is working. Contributors, Harvey Pekar, Joshua Fialkov, Michael Gatos, Phil Hester, Micah that we talked to last week.
Micah Farrader, Andy Parks is involved.
A lot of different people are working on it. So it looks like it's going to be a fascinating anthology piece.
Absolutely.
So check it out.
On time, all the time, 12 gauges, new commitment. And
I didn't understand any of that. What? It's like a bunch of, a string of words.
12 gauge is a studio that does The Ride. They also did, OCT?
Yeah.
Tony Chastain.
And we still need to get Tony back on the show. Yeah. Tony's been wanting to come on the show for a while, and we keep just running into other people that want to be on, and we've been backlogged for a while. But
and I
want to
get Tony's stuff on OCT.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
But all that comes out from 12 Gauge, and 12 Gauge was a publisher that came out with a lot of buzz, had some really good books coming out, and ran into some scheduling problems like a lot of comic publishers do.
Yep.
And they have announced a new commitment that they're not going to be late on any books. Again.
Ever.
Ever.
Jesus. Well, what's going to happen if they are?
Challenging. They're going to shoot themselves in the feet.
Yes. With a 12 gauge.
With a 12 gauge. I think that's the
challenge. And I think it's admirable for a company to make that pledge, because I think it is important, especially for an independent, to come out with books on
Just
time.
To admit that you've had a problem. I mean, most publishers don't even say it. You
most of them are like, yeah, they're so good anyway. Why are you complaining?
Don't worry, it'll come out when it comes out, and it'll blow you away.
You're paying $3 anyway.
Not $3.50 anymore.
Yeah,
but we'll get into that. On
but
episode.
Hey, I think it's refreshing to some degree. We'll see if it holds up, and hopefully they can. Hopefully,
Yeah, because they put out good books.
Yeah, there's no reason to wish them ill will. But there you go. Hopefully they'll come out on time.
I love it that that's the best we can do for people is say we wish you ill will.
We don't hate.
We don't want anything. We're not wishing for anything good, but we really hope nothing bad happens to you.
Well. Just, yeah, I guess you're right, Tom.
Earn
maybe
it.
We should. Maybe we should be a bit more magnanimous.
No, I like it. It's like sort of an O. Henry story. You have to lift yourself up by the bootstraps.
Hear that, 12 gauge?
All right,
pull up them bootstraps.
Yeah. There you go.
Get to work.
Well, the guy who doesn't have to lift up anything other than his paychecks.
Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison.
And he's going to be lifting up a big fucking paycheck on this. Yeah.
He's scripting the...
I bet he spends it all on Starburst or something fucking
green
crazy.
Green M&Ms and Pokemon cards.
That's my guest house. It is filled with Starburst.
It's filled with Starburst.
So, yeah, he's...
it's filled with robot puppies.
He is adapting Area 51 to...
film.
Yeah. Is it film?
Yeah. Area 51 is a video game.
Yes, and
he's adapting that.
You know where
Midway
Games is based?
I have no idea.
St. Louis?
Like across the street from Hot Dogs on California Avenue. Yeah.
Oh, wow, really?
You should go in there.
That place is a fucking shithole.
It is. we were driving by Wayne Tech tonight.
Yeah.
Midway Games is right behind it.
Oh, we should go over there some night and raid them. And
maybe Grant Morrison will be there.
Maybe Grant Morrison will be there. That would be funny.
Yeah, but Midway Games
I think
right
here's
California.
The plan.
I have a nightmare that Grant Morrison's brain will, swallow me. And I'll just become a character in a Grant Morrison book. But no one will remember who I am.
Here's
so
the plan.
Is.
Here's the plan. On Free Comic Book Day, we kidnap Brian K. Vaughan, and we take him to Midway Games, and we hostage him for Grant Morrison. We ransom him. We will not give up Brian K. Vaughan until Morrison shows up with a wheelbarrow of Starburst.
Do you mean is Robert Kirkman going to rappel off the... down from the ceiling to, like, say...
Maybe. I don't know. He might.
Everyone's in Chicago. Boo. Anyway, he's a crazy fucker.
Have you played Area 51?
I have. It scares me because of the aliens.
Okay.
You are frightened of aliens, aren't you?
I am.
What was the Christopher Walken movie we talked with Josh Boyle on?
Communion.
By the way, when you included that communion clip, that made me laugh so hard I spit coffee. So, hey, what's up, little man?
Oh, it's so creepy of a clip. You can see it on YouTube if you search, like, communion Christopher Walken, and he's like, hey, what's up? Hey,
little man,
hey. Yeah, and he grabs him and, like, lays on the bed with him. Hey, and he's wrestling with him, but it's like, you can tell, even the kid's uncomfortable,
like,
you know?
I don't like this.
Christopher Walken as a dad is just weird.
Yeah.
You don't even need the alien.
Exactly. I was watching on YouTube, they have a bunch of clips from, like the DVD or something, where it's, like, outtakes, and it's the director talking about different shots in the film. And, like, the first one is, like, Christopher Walken naked in a spaceship looking at, like, alien
faces.
What are
you doing?
And stuff.
Oh, God.
It's so bizarre. It's I don't know, Christopher Walken.
Oh, Josh,
I love him.
I want to see a Grant Morrison. I want to see Grant Morrison write something that Christopher Walken performs in.
Oh, God. Christopher Walken is the voice of
Christopher Walken is
Animal Man. Christopher Walken.
As Animal Man.
Christopher Walken as Grant Morrison.
I'm in the red. That makes sense.
Honey. I can't do that.
We need Dave Wachter. All right. New York City is getting ready to celebrate Spider-Man Week.
I thought every week was Spider-Man Week in New York.
Well, it is for us.
Oh. But
it is. It's crazy. They have a crazy website that's filled with just... I thought this would be like, hey, it's Spider-Man
Week. Like a
week.
Nothing story?
Yeah, hey, like, hey, this week's shoe week in Chicago.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Remember the history of shoes.
It's Columbus Day.
It's the Columbus Day, but it's not. It's more like...
Roman Pulaski.
It's more like Cashmere Pulaski Day in Chicago.
Hey, Roman, that's a big deal.
I said Roman Pulaski. I get those two confused, you know?
Statutory Rape Day.
Not Revolutionary War Hero.
Oops, yeah. Sorry.
Hello.
Sorry, all those Polanski fans on either side.
But yeah, if you're in the New York area, it looks like they have some really cool stuff planned. There's going to be museum exhibits and all sorts of fun stuff.
Is there going to be, like, crowds of New Yorkers just, like, throwing rocks?
You messed with one of us. You messed with all of us.
I'm a little tired of that whole theme in the Spider-Man movies. But
there's going to be a point.
New Yorkers aren't that helpful to anyone.
Everyone gets 5 books written about them at the same time. Even though not enough happens to legitimately justify having 5 books written about them.
Oh, good.
So anyway, for that full story,
I love you, Spider-Man.
You can go to Comic Book Resources.
And New York. We love New York.
We
have a shirt that says it.
We have a...
Yes, you do. I saw
you. Did you buy an I Love New York?
For my daughter.
Oh,
yeah, I bought one for her.
Won't fit him. I hope not. If it does,
she's got a thyroid
your daughter has
problem.
Health issues.
Yeah. No. I bought it for my daughter. She's 4. It's a little shirt.
We've got some movie news.
But I bought it in the airport at Chicago on the way. No,
you
just
did
kidding.
Not.
No, I didn't.
I love New York. They sell it to you as you're walking off the flight. They're like, did you
want
to buy something for someone?
You're in Chicago
now. Thank God.
Oops. We've got some movie news. Robert Rodriguez revealed that the sequel for Sin City, Sin City 2, would probably begin shooting in June. And I thought this was interesting, that Sin City would probably continue in some form on television.
I like that it was on the Charlie Rose show.
Yeah, this is kind of what are you doing on there? Well, they're in just like super promotion. Him and Quentin Tarantino are in
Grindhouse.
Yeah, coked out promotion mode, just trying to push anything. They're everywhere. It's like every time I turn on the TV, I see, oh, and now a special sneak preview of Grindhouse. It's like, I've
Quentin
seen it 17 times.
Quentin Tarantino made my sandwich today at Jimmy John's.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, go see Grindhouse. But he made a sandwich like it was like a 70s
was it
sandwich.
A grinder?
It was a 70s sandwich.
Yeah, it wasn't like a modern sandwich.
It was like a grilled cheese.
It was
what are you talking? It was a grinder.
God, wait.
We had something going on.
The momentum
yeah,
of that bit.
But what are they going to do on TV with Sin City?
HBO? Something.
Okay.
I mean, why not?
I mean, through Sin City 2 is going to use up pretty much the rest of the really good
stories.
The beautiful thing.
It doesn't mean you can't come up with new ones. You could go with anywhere in that universe and do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Who knows? Better have Frank writing it.
Oh, or what? You gonna cry?
No, be
baby?
Careful.
You
could
be cry,
careful,
little girl.
What you're gonna have is you're gonna have Osama bin Laden Sin City.
Osama, wait,
Osama Sin City.
Barack Obama Sin City.
Oh.
Obama.
How's it going? How's it going, neocons? Everyone that searched kill.
Well,
Obama.
Kurt Sutter, who's the producer and writer and director of The Shield, is currently working on a sequel to The Punisher. I love that this was reported from Northern Illinois University. Go Huskies!
I love The Shield, and that's a. The Shield is way better than the Punisher movie ever could have dreamed to have been.
That is really funny. Yeah,
so,
that is true. It is way better than the
So
Punisher.
Hopefully he can make the next Punisher movie as good as The
I
Shield.
Also
if it's as good as The Shield, I'll be extremely happy.
Also,
Michael Chiklis is the Punisher.
I want to take this opportunity to mention that recently, in the last 2 weeks, I realized that Zack Snyder, who made 300, is working at Watchmen, is from Green Bay.
Yes, he is.
She's going to pass up.
Your mom told you that,
yeah,
didn't she?
Which totally freaked me out because I had to search it on the internet. And I was like, holy shit, he is from Green Bay. I'm like, it totally blew my mind.
Did you kind of feel out of the loop on that one? Kind of like out of touch?
No
mom
one's from Green Bay. The only other person from Green Bay that anyone ever knows is Tony Shalhoub, otherwise known as Antonio on Wings, or Monk from the USA.
I love Monk.
Yeah, he's from Green Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
kidding
me.
He went to East High School. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. He's serious.
He's
going to pet Zack Snyder.
He's like the most un-Wisconsin-looking person I've ever met.
Oh, you haven't seen him eat cheese curds, my friend. All I know is Zack Snyder's going
to... Tom, will you take me to a fish boil sometime?
The fish boils are really gross. I'll take you to a fish fry.
All right.
But all I have to
say is
if Watchmen is dependent upon creating a bleak urban landscape, being
Bye,
from
Hank.
Green Bay means he will do an absolutely... fantastic job of creating an environment where no one dreams about a future at all.
Hi, this is Mike Norton, co-creator and artist of Gravity, and if you're not listening to Crankcast, you should be listening to Around Comics.
It was revealed through an interview at CBR this week by Graham Yost that Astro City was almost made into a TV show, which
wow.
I would have loved to have.
That would be awesome.
But
Astro City would be a kick-ass TV show. And you wouldn't even have to like do that on HBO or anything because, I mean, you could just do that on network TV.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And it could be a cool...
Heroes is showing that right now.
Yeah.
You can do stories like that.
Although I'd like
network.
To see like the 70s era that they're doing like now in Dark...
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh, in Dark Age.
Dark Age.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. But, yeah, that would be cool. That would be awesome to
well,
see Astro City.
Yost is working on... it's the Jeff Goldblum... series.
Oh, Reigns.
Reigns.
Yeah.
Which we found out some kind of interesting...
Gabe. Yeah, yeah. I talked to him this week. I emailed him. Actually, tonight, which is Friday, this episode of Reigns, and it'll be last Friday by the time you hear this, but has something to do with a comic book store and a guy who draws comics. And Gabe actually was the guy who did all the artwork
mm-hmm.
in the story. So Gabe's a listener of ours, and we're going to actually have Gabe on the show. We're trying to lock down a day, but somewhere around Spider-Man 3. He worked on Spider-Man 3 as a storyboard artist. So we're going to talk to Gabe about Spider-Man 3.
Gabe's awesome. We talked to him in New York.
Yeah,
very cool guy.
Fucking talented artist, man. Awesome, awesome stuff. Check out, I don't know off the top of my head, but if you go to our website... and look up. Actually, you can't find it on our website, but he's got a comic space page.
Yeah.
I tell you,
well,
we will.
Novel.
Whenever this when this episode airs, we'll link to it
on the site.
Yeah,
sure. He's got a comic space page. Which has got some previews.
He's gonna have
stuff.
A graphic novel coming out someday.
Yeah, because that graphic novel looked awesome.
Yeah.
It was unbelievably cool.
Gabe is, I believe, is an example of someone who's probably making too much money in Hollywood to actually do comics, and he loves comics.
Well, he's trying to do comics, but
yeah
he's not going to do it full-time. I don't think he's got a good living in what he's doing.
I think he likes messing with everyone. He's like,
I could take over
the
industry,
do whatever.
But I don't need to.
I don't need to.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Gabe was also an extremely nice guy, too, so
oh,
I can't
guy.
Wait to talk to him some more. And
great guy.
But there you go. What else we got?
Jason Aaron, another one, just another really nice guy in the industry, is kind of going back to where he started.
He's going back to a not-so-nice guy.
Yeah, Jason Aaron, the writer of The Other Side and Scalped, which you'll hear more about here in a few minutes, is going back to Wolverine, which Jason got his break into comics by winning a talent search.
Selling out.
Yeah. Sold out before he ever got into the industry.
Sell out.
But he is going to be penning Wolverine number 56.
And who's going to be doing the art on that issue?
Some Joe.
Howard Chaykin, my friend.
There you go.
So there you
go. Are we going to get the Blade Howard Chaykin, or are we going to get the Guy Gardner Howard Chaykin?
I hope we get the Blade Howard Chaykin.
Yeah.
Actually, I hope we get the American Flag Howard Chaykin myself. But
dude,
I like the Blade Howard Chaykin.
I do too.
In the next couple months, we will have to invent a time machine.
Yes, we will. Let's get on the cosmic treadmill,
my friend.
I can almost guarantee that Jason is just absolutely thrilled to death that Howard Chaykin is going to be doing Wolverine. So. Wolverine number 56. Definitely put that on your list. And if you're not buying Scalped,
Scalp was good this week.
You're gonna hear more about that
because I have a very strong feeling about number 4.
It's not
positive?
Your top of the stack, is it?
It's not my top of the stack.
Okay, good.
It resuscitated my
love
to read it. Yeah,
it
was. I'll talk about that one.
Okay, great. And definitely when The Other Side comes out in trade, check it out because it is a fantastic Vietnam War era book.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right,
they're having a contest. I think Cameron Stewart's having a contest with a piece
original
of
art
from
The Other Side.
Really?
On his MySpace page.
Yeah.
If you go to myspace.com/theotherside, he's having a contest.
It features both characters.
And you can win original artwork. I think you're ineligible.
Why?
Because you're part of the media.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, unfortunately,
you might not be good at it, but you are.
No.
Sorry. You have nowhere to put all the original Chris Somni art you've bought over the last year.
Oh, that stuff is so cool. Chris Somni sent me a little present today.
Oh, what did he send you?
Christ.
Oh, yeah, he did send you that. That's
a hollow chocolate
bunny.
I got a preview.
He keeps getting people like Rucka sent him preview pages.
That was so cool.
And,
dude, checkmate.
Hey,
the next issue
creators
checkmate
out there like
so awesome.
Me, just send some to me. Sorry, I don't haunt you.
We don't stalk
your waking dreams.
Hey, you know what? You know, comics, you know, aren't just American comics. There are comics from other places out there.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, there are like comics from Japan.
You mean like Canada?
You mean manga?
Yes.
Manga.
There's comics from Japan, there's comics from Korea, there's comics from
Well, those would be manhwa.
They would be.
But I don't understand all this fancy foreign talk.
Fancy.
Well, we have
someone who does, though.
We do. And that person would be Stephanie Mangold and her Stephanie Mangold manga report. And here is Stephanie.
Tom of Around Comics, this is Stephanie Mangold, also known as Hey Supergirl, with your monthly manga report. Today we're going to start with a story about Media Blasters, popular publisher of both anime and manga titles. They recently made a decision to drop their line of shonen manga in favor of an increase in the number of yaoi titles that they publish. For those of you who don't know, shonen manga is aimed at boys. It includes popular titles such as Bleach, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z. Yaoi manga is aimed at women and features romantic relationships between two men. Media Blasters has found success with the number of yaoi titles it publishes. It has about 20 in its catalog right now, including popular titles Level C and Skyscrapers of Oz. Skyscrapers, a yaoi one-shot about seductive hitmen, is going into its fourth printing. They plan to add more yaoi titles to the collections with plans to publish one or two books every month next year. Anticipated titles include Crimson Spell, which will be out this June. Other anticipated titles include Target and the Finder, Loveless, and Pornograph. Media Blasters also has plans to cross-promote its yaoi DVDs and manga with other publishers, such as Tokyo Pop, which publishes the popular title Loveless, and 801 Media, a subdivision of Digital Manga Press, which publishes Sensitive Pornograph and their recent releases Sky Over My Spectacles and Bonds. Media Blasters also has plans to publish non-yaoi and general interest mangas. They were quoted in a recent article in Publishers Weekly's Comics Weekly newsletter as saying, "We're going to continue trying new things. We're still experimenting. We're always going for styles that no one else in the industry is doing." Given the success of yaoi in the United States, it's going to be interesting to see how Media Blasters succeeds with their recent additions to their yaoi line. Moving on, Tokyo Pop has announced the winners of the 7th Rising Stars of Manga competition. This is Tokyo Pop's American Idol, and the winners are listed as follows. Best Comedy goes to B is for Bishy. Best Drama goes to Melody. Best Fantasy goes to Fortune Finders. Best Horror goes to Gaku vs. Suzy. Best Mystery goes to Scratched. Best Romance goes to I'll Be Waiting. Best Sci-Fi goes to Argosy. And the People's Choice winner is Blue Blood. We're also going to take a brief look at some of the titles that were recently released. Each of these is from Viz Media. We have Firefighter, Daigo Fire Company M, Volume 18, Please Save My Earth, Volume 21, Read or Die, Read or Dream, Volume 3, and Yakuza Japan, Volume 4. Out of all these, I can only safely recommend two, as I'm only reading two. Read or Die, Read or Dream takes place before the Read or Die TV series and follows the Paper Sisters. I strongly recommend this series to anyone who's a fan of the Read or Die TV series or the Read or Die OVA. Both the Read or Die and the Read or Dream mangas, there's two different series, each 4 volumes, fill in the gaps between the anime and the OVA quite nicely, and gives you a different look at your favorite characters. Yakuza Japan is the story of a young boy who dreams of becoming a world-renowned baker who will create the national bread of Japan. If you know anything about Japanese culture, you know that bread is not the main word in terms of grain there. Rice is. So, creating a national bread of Japan would be quite easy. It's a fun manga, it's interesting, and believe me when I say, you would never know you could laugh so much over things involving bread until you read Yakuza Japan. And the last thing on our agenda today is actually a book that was recommended to me that I'm going to check out, and you should too. It's called The Kurosagi Corpse Delivery Service. It takes place in Tokyo, where 5 Budapest University students use their unique talents to help the city's dead who are in need. They help the dead who are trapped in their corpses and can't move on to the next life. There's 5 kids in the group, 3 guys, 2 girls. Together they form the Kurosagi, or Black Heroin, which is their ominous bird logo, and they cover different things from suicide to murder, accident, or illness. Whatever happens, they'll carry your body wherever it needs to go to free your soul. The tagline on Amazon reads, "The kids from Kurosagi can smell a customer a mile away. It's a good thing one of the girls majored in embalming." Now, it sounds a little gruesome from the description, but it looks kind of fun and lighthearted, and as far as I know, it is out right now, so I'm going to go out, head to my local Borders, and see if I can find it. You do the same, and let me know what you think. That's all for now, Chris Allen from. I'll see you next month with your monthly manga report.
And thank you, Stephanie Mangold. Go to silverboltcomics.com and read Hey Supergirl.
Hey Supergirl. How would you say Hey Supergirl?
Hey Supergirl.
I would say Hey Supergirl.
I'd say Hey Supergirl.
All right.
No, was that creepy?
Hey.
I would say
Supergirl.
Stephanie, you are an incredibly talented journalist.
Try not to yell at her like that.
Yeah, that's offensive.
Yeah, not good.
Okay.
Let's
but Stephanie is a incredibly talented writer, so check out her column, and thank you again for sending in your monthly manga report.
Thank you. Look
for that every month.
We don't know anything about it.
We really don't.
Yeah, I don't understand
a
word.
I'm really happy that someone is willing to give us.
We like it when Stephanie calls us.
Yes.
We do have a hotline.
We do have a hotline, 1-888-65-GCAST. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail. You'll need the PIN number, and there's another number you have to punch in.
You can get
in
all that at the
get that at our website. But last week, Tom threw out a bit of a challenge to our Canadian friend Enigma, who had sent in.
And he has taken up the challenge.
He has certainly taken up the challenge. He actually sent us a bunch of voicemails this week. The first of which, he attempted to explain why last week's voicemail sounded so wacky. So, here's this.
Hello, guys, at Around Comics. Now,
Boot.
I was just listening to, you know, your little podcast, number 85, and I heard myself. And I'm, okay, now, I want to explain that for the first part. I want to explain that. Now, see, I decided one day I'd phone you guys, so I phoned you guys. And I actually went one on my thoughts about Civil War, the one with Mark Silvestri, and Civil War the Initiative.
We didn't play that.
And then, you know, I was like, hey, I can hear myself talk. This is like the greatest thing ever. And so I decided to do like 20 more or something. And so when I did that, I didn't know every time I did it, I like, you know, I heard myself. Yeah, I didn't know. I just wanted to hear myself say crazy things.
Cause, you know, well, you got that far.
Out of my tape recorder. But, yeah, so I didn't actually think the one was going to sell. And, well, and you know what? So I'm sorry. And no, I'm not French-Canadian. I'm good old Canadian-Indian. That's right. I miss you, Captain America.
No, wait, Tom.
Like, you know, Aboriginal. I love Scalp. It's a good book. It's not like pure, like I've lived on Reds, so I think I know, you know, about Reds, but yeah, it's close enough, I guess. And so, yeah, I just want to explain myself, guys. And here, I'm, you know what, since I left you with a rap, which was by Immortal Technique, everyone go out and buy CDs, they're really good. Or, you know, just download them for free. Immortal Technique, he's a good guy. He's a good rapper, always has a message.
Does he know you're giving him his songs?
I'm going to sing you guys a song right now.
It's Canadian rap? I don't know, dude. Like, I know Immortal
Definition or Lines of Hip Hop. Or just a little bit of it. Yo, from the first to the last of it, delivery is passionate. The whole and not the half of it. Vocabulary, not the math of it. Projectile blasting with accurate assessing shit. Me and Quali close like Bethlehem and Nazareth. After this, you be pressed and rewind on top of your master disc. Shining like an asterisk for all this up together. Connecting like a rat house from the townhouse to the tenements. Cause all my Brooklyn residents, heavy ridges and mists. Don't believe here the
no,
evidence.
No, you didn't know the words there.
Whoa, see that? About to take it. Oh, can't believe that. From where they sell in Tria to where the police be at. Tell them quality, equality, or tell them where to be at. Brooklyn, New York City, where they pay mirrors of Biggie and cash we trust, cause it's ghetto fabulous, life look pretty, what a pity, blunts is still 50 cent, it's intense, transcendence domination can't be covered with incense, my presence is felt, my name is Quali from the eternal reflection, people think MC is shorthand for misconception, whoa,
wait, is it sure that's not Tom Quali?
So anyways, live, let long, prosper, you know, whatever out there, and guys, I love the podcast.
Thank you, so that was Canada. Thank you, Canada.
That was him explaining that he wasn't crazy, I guess.
He is crazy.
I think there's something...
Behind the scenes, we're going to let you into a secret. We've written this character.
it's actually a puppet of ours.
It's a Muppet.
But he sent us, like, four more of
these. Do we have some World War Hulk thoughts?
He had World War Hulk thoughts. Well, you know what? Let's not play them all. Let's not play them all tonight. We'll spread them out a little bit. Yeah. We got like three more from him. I'm sure he's going to send us more.
If he keeps sending it to us, I would almost encourage him to start his own podcast.
Well,
not in a negative sense.
Let's play one other one that he sent us. It's a song that he obviously wrote himself, and he wanted to sing it to us. So let's go ahead and hear his song.
Jesus is just all right with me.
Am I on? Okay,
am I on?
Jesus Christ.
Cause there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Something Image Comics and Desk.
I don't know the words either.
Richard Starkings, Flask. Okay. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Image Comics Index, Richard Starkings, Hip Flex, the Luna Brothers of
Electra and Girls, J. Ferbier and Noble Causes, Rick Remender and a Sea of Red, Robert Gherkin.
Is this the Image Comics theme song?
I think so.
Matt Fraction and Casanova, C.P. Sablusisk, I can't say his name, David Hyde, His Strange Embrace, Eric Larson, where are you? I'm missing you. David Mark, some dude I just made up. David Mark, where are you? I don't know you. YouTube, where all the people go to watch episodes of The Simpsons and to watch white chicks and gang signs. Hometown Big Dog, Songs of Pain, Tales of Mere Existence, Subtext. People go to YouTube to watch people talk about nothing. Nothing. My entertainment, FortMcMurray.com, entertainment portal, Windows Internet Explorer. Bob Barker is gone. Oh, the drama. Box office report. Meet the Robinsons.
He's just fucking eating shit off his RSS feed right now. He's not even.
It goes on for
29 more minutes.
Yeah, it's just insane.
He has a whole thing about air fat. And
do we want to hear more?
Process.
Well, we have another Canadian.
We do have another Canadian. Just
we'll
maybe
save more of that.
Yeah, we'll
for
save
later.
That.
Let's not overload it.
Let's try and redeem Canada's name and listen to another Canadian who sent us a voicemail.
Oh, this is a Canadian that that we all know and we love. It's a man who drove down just to be on this.
I like him a lot. Loves him. Strong.
He loves
strong.
Don't throw that word
I keep
around.
That for my kids and wife.
It's Wayne Gretzky.
Hey there, guys. It's Simon calling from Ottawa, Canada.
Hi,
I just
Simon.
Got finished listening to episode 85 through 87. I'd like to talk a little about episode 85. What the hell were you thinking, calling out Canadians this close to the Stanley Cup playoffs? We're just a little emotional right now, okay? It's really not a good time to piss us off. And to borrow a line from South Park, we've apologized for Anne Murray on numerous occasions. Let's just let it drop, okay? When I get some time, I'm going to set up a call with a buddy of mine where we'll totally confirm your prejudices against French Canadians. Anyway, to the real reason I'm calling.
Oh, we got
to
do that.
I want to talk about 52, or specifically what to do after 52. But first, damn you to hell, Tom Caters. I was out after issue 8, and you tweaked my interest when you said that Skeets was a dick. 40 issues later and $100 later in the wallet. But I'm loving 52. But unfortunately, like Chris, I have to agree, I'm getting a little tired of the big events. So if anyone else feels the same way, I suggest they move their 52 money into some other great titles that DC is putting out, some of which may need your help. First off, Justice Society of America by Jeff Johns and the art by Dale Eaglesham. Okay.
I can't
it doesn't
believe
need
the
your help,
numbers on that.
But it does deserve to be DC's number one selling book. It's awesome. Everybody's got to jump on this. Secondly, Manhunter by Mark Andraco and art by Javier Pina.
Good book.
Yeah, it's coming back. Put it on your pull list. It's a great book. You got to get
die.
The numbers up on this one. And then Robin, story by Adam Beechin and art by Freddie E. Williams Jr. This new story arc is just awesome, and it shows how much Robin has really matured in the past year. It reminds me a lot of when Spider-Man was still kicking around in high school. And for a fourth book, I can't really decide. I'm enjoying Teen Titans, Bird of Prey, Shadow Pack, and Checkmate so much, and I just can't really put a finger on what should
Checkmate.
Be the fourth book to replace the 52.
Checkmate.
And I know one thing, it's all your fault that I'm reading all these books. Anyway, guys, I'm out. I'll talk to you soon. You're having some great shows. Keep it up.
That's because I whore out DC.
You're not out. He's oot. You're oot.
I'm the worst DC whore. As I,
you are. You should work for DC,
you have
man.
Infected
you work
us
for DC?
Like a damn virus.
Do you work for... You're like Dan DiDio's
Dan DiDio.
Cousin.
You should hire me.
No
you
shit.
You should send me you into places to infect people.
You are the DC pimp, man. But I have to admit, I have become just obsessed with DC history and looking up stuff on Wikipedia. And I think DC's put out great books. I can't believe their numbers. Like last month, I know we've talked about it a little bit. You know, their numbers are down, and especially like a book like JSA.
But JSA doesn't sell over 100,000 copies.
It's not even close. I don't even think it's like 50,000.
No, it's two.
Oh, that's crazy. That's such a good book. That I don't know, but
well, and we're getting ready to get in Top of the Stack in a minute, but I finally now that Rebirth came out, it's Green Lantern Rebirth. If you haven't read that miniseries, go out and buy that trade because it is the funnest Green Lantern story, and I don't even want to say fun. I mean, it was fun for me, but what a great miniseries!
It's great for me when I read it. I remember when I was a kid when they did what they sort of did to Hal Jordan, and for a long time, a lot of writers tried to figure out a way to make Hal Jordan not an asshole. They made him the Spectre, and then they made him sacrifice himself to make the sun start up again, and then they made him the Spectre, and it never made sense. It never fit. And then finally Geoff Johns wrote a story that was like, you know what? Hal Jordan's still a hero, and restore Hal Jordan not to being a villain. And I was like, finally, someone figured out a way to make him... He's a hero again, and it's fine. And it's an amazing...
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, what? How long had Hal not been Green Lantern?
Since...
Over a decade.
Yeah.
Really?
92.
91,
92. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
It was...
I want to say more 92-ish.
Yeah, you might be right. It was probably... Maybe it was 92, 93, somewhere in there is when that first...
When we were...
And I remember... I mean, that was one of the... I didn't read a ton of DC stuff. But Green Lantern was always a book I read. I always loved Hal.
Yeah.
I always loved Green Lantern. And when that happened, it was like, you know, I hated the fact that they were getting rid of Hal. I liked Kyle, but I just wanted Hal
made
back.
A good way of making it like bringing back Hal doesn't mean that Kyle is a piece of shit now.
Right.
You know, he figured out a way to make it all
work.
Meltzer does an introduction in the trade paperback for Rebirth, and he addresses that. And they had the perfect opportunity to either kill Kyle or just kind of brush him off to the side.
They didn't.
They made it to where
he has his own piece of history. Yeah.
And in not just a nice way, but a way that makes sense. And for Kyle fans, it's like, you know what, the last decade of comics that I've read, and I really like Kyle, you know what, it still works. And I can still like Kyle.
He's the one who brought it all back.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, he's the one who did. So, fantastic. I wore myself up over DC. That's a fucking DC one.
You are.
Well, I guess since we're talking about comics that we like, that means that we should talk about comics that we liked in the last week.
Sure.
And that would be Top of the Stack. That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading.
What you been reading?
What have you been reading, everyone?
Tom, I know what you've been reading.
My Top of the Stack is Welcome to Tranquility number 5 from Gail Simone and Neil Googe.
I'm so glad you're doing this because it almost made my Top of the Stack and just got edged out.
But
just a hair.
I think a lot of sort of the reaction in this book, I think a lot of people have taken it as sort of a joke book in a lot of ways.
No.
And it's not a joke book. If you read this issue, there are moments in here that were really just incredibly touching. When the hero that you've... Spoilers? Well, kind of.
Go ahead. You know what? From now on, I think... You know, that's... I was actually... Not to deviate too long, but I was actually thinking about that today. It's like, you know, when we talk about our Top of the Stacks, we don't really get into the story much.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Because we try not and spoil it, but I think we need to talk more about what's going on in the story to try and illustrate what we
like
about
it. I think in this case, I won't ruin the book for you. But there's the character that you've seen so far trying to remember, it's like the Captain Marvel, trying to remember his word to turn into Captain Marvel. And you see his arch-villain, who's become his friend, like, be like, I should have told you this a long time ago.
Crypt Keeper.
And tell him this is...
I love that the Crypt Keeper is his arch enemy.
And it's like, the moments like that is what makes this book so fantastic, because what Gail's done is she's captured... What she's done is she's taken, like, Irredeemable Ant-Man and JSA and all this different stuff. She's taken the most irreverent superhero stuff and mixed it with the most reverent, and so come up with a book that doesn't fall flat. Like, it still works on both ends. You still laugh, and you still, like, say, well, aren't superheroes really
awesome. Isn't this such a great concept?
The White Picket Fences guys last week, and I think they described this book as what the TV show Eureka should have been.
Right. Where it's that closer look at this community of characters.
And you see these characters do these really heroic, like, sacrificial things, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this isn't just a book played for jokes. This is a book played for...
Oh, I felt so bad for Bad Dog.
Oh, yeah.
By the end, I'm just like, oh, he can't, you know, bring himself to do what he knows he should do.
He has to do.
Fantastic. You know, I was a huge fan of Chuck Dixon and Doug Mankey's series, Team Zero. What a great way for Gale to give a nod to Team Zero.
I just think this book works. There's like a magic... Yeah. There's like some sort of weird alchemy in this book where it pokes fun at everything that you think is funny about old comics, but also...
It's an homage,
too, like, to some degree. This is why you love old... This is why we love comics, but this is why comics are funny, and you don't have to feel bad reading it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just clever.
Well, it's not too self-examinatory where it's, you know, it makes you really kind of, you know, try and understand those kind of things.
But it doesn't ignore its own funny.
Exactly, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the teen team. The Runaways, or What If Power Pack?
The Authoritines.
Power Pack
grew up. It's like What If Power Pack
grew up. The Authoritines.
Yeah, the Authoritines, good lord. It's what it is. It's like, you know, if Power Pack grew
Runaway,
up
and went goth.
Yeah.
I don't even like goth music.
It's a really fun, good...
I'm Sweet Sally.
It's just, I think it's just so much fun. I read it... It was one of the last books I read this month for whatever reason, and I always have the struggle that I consciously, like, read certain things in a row, and I had a certain thing in my mind up until the point I read this book, and then I read it, and I was like, God, that was really fucking good. I need to just say that was really good.
This issue really did turn a lot of things upside down in this community of tranquility. It took a lot of things that you wanted to happen or thought would happen and turned them up.
Mystery of about what the nature is of where they are, like the physics of where they are.
Yeah.
Like how are they? Why is this place the way it is?
Why is it special?
Why are they all here? Why did they all?
What happened that everyone's
There's
here?
There's something else going on that we're not.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready to find out. So. Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic.
It's the Gale Simone.
Yay, Gale. Yay, Neil.
Yay,
you did a great job.
Sal, what was your top of the stack
this week? My top of the stack this week was The Incredible Hulk, number 105, the end of the Planet Hulk story. Planet Hulk, I've really enjoyed it. While I don't know that it's been this amazing book, like Revolution or anything, but it's been really solid every issue, pretty much.
Yeah.
And more than
amazing for a 14-issue story.
Yeah, for a 14-issue story. It's been very solid. And this last issue really kind of hit me that I thought Greg Pak did a fantastic job of really illustrating this new Hulk character and what he's been trying to do this whole Planet Hulk series. And it really came to a head in this last issue where we finally see the Hulk sort of brought to his knees and defeated. And not from... You know, not from some bad guy, not from, you know, some other superhero, but from the loss of someone and people dear to him. Ironically, you know, and whether I don't know if you've been reading, you know, Planet Hulk or not, but you know, he's been sent to this planet from Earth, and they thought they were sending him there to find peace. The first
took
twist,
a little detour.
Well, the first twist of it is the planet is all, you know, basically inhabited by gladiators and monsters and everything. But through a lot of battles and a lot of fighting, he eventually did find peace by sort of conquering this planet and becoming its king.
Philosopher king,
and a different kind of character, a different kind of Hulk. We saw a Hulk that we really haven't seen before. You know, a much more intelligent, and a Hulk that actually learns something along this journey. But at this issue, you know, it's all a
it's
kind of
like Conan.
Yeah, very much so like Conan, where, you know, when he started out, it was just this savage.
He's the warrior,
and he's become something much more. This issue really is, you know, a boiling point. It's leading into World War Hulk. And I thought it did a great job of giving us the mindset of the Hulk going into this next issue.
Yeah.
And this next series. And that mindset is going to be very upset and nothing to lose. He has pretty much nothing to live for other than revenge any longer. In my opinion, that's what it seems like. Is there's nothing left for the Hulk other than revenge. That's all that is on his mind any longer. And he's coming back to Earth to make people pay for what, once again, they did to him, which was take away any sort of peace that monster has.
Well, I think the beautiful thing about Planet Hulk is that for a very long time, I think a lot of writers, when they write the Hulk represents anger to a lot of people, but the anger is never justified, I think, about 95% of the time with the Hulk. It's always like, oh, this is a mild inconvenience.
You stepped on my toe.
Yeah, like it's never... The Hulk almost becomes sort of a means to an end,
right,
story-wise. So what Greg Pak did is he found a way to say, here's why the Hulk is angry. And now you understand why the Hulk is angry.
Yeah.
And the Hulk should be angry. And this is why this story matters. Because finally, I mean, I think you see it all the time. As great as Peter David's run on that book was, I think it was almost an exercise in avoiding the issue of, like...
why he's angry. I know what you mean. Yeah. But that was sort of why I picked this particular issue, because it as much as I liked Planet Hulk, I didn't really get it until now that it was all sort of just set up for this next...
He's
chapter.
Angry. Well, you know why he's angry.
Peter David was all about defining what the monster was and what Bruce Banner was and all the different
variations. And the conflict between them. And
Sal made a really interesting point, you know, whenever we were talking about this earlier in the day. If you look at Civil War in general and what Planet Hulk and Hulk is going to be.
You know, if you look at Civil War as sort of an analogy of current political atmosphere in this country, you know, with red states, blue states, whatever. The Hulk, to me, coming back to Earth, is going to represent terrorism. And he's going to be this extremist, radical character with nothing left to lose, coming back to this now organized, regimented country that has, you know, and disrupting it all with his army of soldiers that are following him. And his followers, if you've been reading Planet Hulk, will die for him. They will lay down their lives for him.
I also think there's an interesting parallel that there's a weird thing going on with Planet Hulk, though, in the sense that the entire time that you watched all the heroes on Earth fight each other, the Hulk built a utopia. He built a world where there's brood aliens protecting children.
Right.
And the Hulk, there's a purity to the Hulk character as the way that Greg Pak has written it that says that when you separate the Hulk from all the other bullshit that the rest of the Marvel Universe is about, you know what happens? The Hulk makes things okay. The Hulk isn't wrong. The Hulk isn't the factor in the Marvel Universe. He's not the one who's wrong. He's the one who... he's okay. He's right in a certain way. But the fact that he has to deal with people like Tony Stark and Reed Richards and whoever's in charge, Black Bolt and all them, they're the ones that fuck it up. But because they're the ones that can arrange for him to leave, they can make him leave. But as soon as he's away from all this the whole Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. whereas he goes to a world that's oppressed and filled with strife and anger and no one gets along, and he makes everyone get along.
He makes peace. Which is so ironic.
He makes a better world than the Marvel Universe.
But at the end, it's taken away by those characters once again.
Well, I think my own feeling is that the Brood character set it up to
get off the planet.
Well, he was hooking up with that bug. They set up the ship to blow
Brood on
because they didn't like how Hulk wasn't angry anymore. But I mean, that's
well, it was sort of interesting at the end because, and I'm going to spoil this part of it. You know, basically what happened is Hulk is king and he's happy and he has a queen he's in love with. A child on the way, and he's finally content. And he's giving, and he's caring, and he's a different kind of character. And then they unearthed the ship that brought him to this planet, and the core on it explodes basically, and you know, kills his wife and a bunch of other people, and sets off these.
To look like Reed Richards and them did it on purpose, so he couldn't leave. You know,
but
that's
after that happens, you see him basically give up.
Yeah.
You know, he's just gotten to the point where it's just like, leave me alone, I'm done. And his warriors, the people that he's built this kinship with,
his disciples,
warbound.
Yes, the warbound characters that he is with, sort of convince him that, well, you're not done. There's somewhere else to go. And that's Earth, and so it is interesting. It will be interesting to see what happens.
There's a lot of interesting things to look at with World War Hulk, because I think the Hulk is a character for a long time that has a certain polarizing effect to him. But I also think that there's so many ways to look at how this story fits into the rest of the Marvel universe, because the Marvel universe, they sort of cast him aside, maybe sort of as a, you know.
Purposely
to be like, yeah. Well, this is how this story has to function. Now, and all of a sudden, Greg Pak's written this story where you're like, you know what? I really do care about... The Hulk should be mad. The Hulk should... You know, I want the Hulk to come back and
I am
fucking
mad
beat
with,
the shit out
I am,
of Reed Richards.
I am mad
well, that
with
was
the
my,
Hulk.
That was yeah. my interesting... That's what I found interesting about the sort of comparison with the Hulk as a terrorist,
yeah.
because he's coming back, and if you look at it like that, at the same time, I think a lot of people are going to be rooting for the Hulk, even though
yeah.
I
think it ties into both sort of there's the symbolism that I brought up and the symbolism you brought up. There's both the sense that the Hulk's not necessarily 100% wrong,
right? And that's the other thing I didn't bring up yet. But I mean, throughout the entire series, he has done nothing but like fight and get stronger. And so this Hulk coming back is not the same Hulk.
You've seen the previews.
Oh, with Black Bolt?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's not
yeah.
the same Hulk that left. This is a more powerful...
I'm like not even the biggest Marvel nerd, but when I saw the preview pages when he's fighting Black Bolt, I got like the goosebumps. He's like, I'm not
so
here for
I didn't
whisper.
Come here to hear you whisper. I came here to hear you scream.
Yeah. Awesome line.
You know,
so yeah, this issue made me very excited for the next issue and for World War Hulk, and I'm looking forward to it. And finally, I think the Hulk has, for so many years, the Hulk's sort of been non-existent.
Yeah.
In the Marvel Universe.
Secondary.
Well, not only secondary, but on his own. You know what I mean? It's like they really haven't involved him in
How
much
stuff. How
do you
get him into his story?
How do you...
Know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Without... It's like the, you know, 800-pound gorilla.
He hasn't done anything important since he held up the mountain in Secret War.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so it's nice to finally see this character that's going to be heavily involved, and I feel bad for Tony Stark and Reed Richards and Black Bolt and all those guys, because I don't know what's going to happen.
I have a prediction there's going to be a scene where the Thing confronts the Hulk but doesn't stop him.
Yeah, I said that today. I said, is he just going to get like backhanded?
I think the Thing will...
Oh, let him go?
Out, yeah,
and just
we'll
like,
figure out like, this isn't my place to be, because that's such a
conscientious objector.
That's such a total thing to do, because if Ben finds out
why
this is going
he's
on,
pissed off, yeah.
I don't necessarily know Ben Grimm would be all like, I have to stop you from...
He's going after Reed, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's the biggest Reed fan
anymore. Yeah, that could be.
I tell you.
Well,
what.
I don't know that the Thing could stop the Hulk at this point anyway. So
I love those stories.
Hulk,
and it's going to happen. There's going to be a Thing Hulk.
Hulk is pissed.
Hulk's also got his own rock guy. So that could be.
That one's coming
up. What's so beautiful about the story.
Yeah. But anyway, Hulk, Incredible Hulk 105, The End of Planet Hulk. Check it out. I know that. And if you haven't read Planet Hulk, there's a hardcover
coming
out.
Yeah.
That's got all the issues in it, and it was really good. I mean, if you're
it's
a Hulk
a great
fan,
14 issues.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was a very, very good extended run of the Hulk.
All right, what do you got?
What you got, sir? That's a good book you have in front of you,
it's
sir.
It's not cosmic, and it doesn't take place on other planets, but it does take place in a very different America than most of us are used to. And then it's Scout number 4. It is from Jason Aaron and R.M. Guara. If you have read Scalped 1 through 3, which I hope that you have, it was the setup of Agent Bad Horse and his reintroduction into a Indian reservation at the verge of the opening of an Indian casino, and all of the underworld
politics and backstabbing and maneuvering and all that good stuff that would happen with money.
Absolutely.
Coming into a very poor community.
And money is always the undercurrent of stuff like that. Scalped 1 through 3 was the setup. Scalped 4 kind of starts to get into the backstory of several of the characters, some of the older characters that you're introduced to in the first three issues. Red Crow. Is that Red Crow?
Yeah.
Is the... I don't know if I want to call him... if you're going to use the Sopranos as a comparison, he's kind of the Tony Soprano.
He's the chief.
He's the chief, exactly. He's a former radical that has turned organizing, if not mob boss. He's pulling a lot of the strings. He's there for personal gain. There are glimmers of what he once believed in, idealistically, but has been twisted to his own personal gain. There's Bad Horse's mother, Gina, who is still very radical and idealistic, but is weathered and almost worn down from years of fighting for what is right, and she's had to give up and
what she believes is
what
right.
She believes and make certain concessions. So there is a very interesting balance of old and new in Scalp number 4 that the crossover of generations on this reservation and what sacrifices people have had to make.
Oh, well, you know what?
Tom's like, I have thoughts on this.
To be honest, the first three issues, the biggest reveal happens in the first issue.
Sure.
And there's sort of, as the three issues went on, I was sort of like, I got to the end of the third, and I was like, well, this is the end of this story. Can this sort of continue? And what this issue did, and it was sort of weird because it did the same sort of thing that the other side did, but the other side did it all in one issue where it was like, well, I can kind of see where this is going. And then
right.
I read this, and I was like, well, he can still tell a compelling story within the confines of the quiet moments without having the, like, you know, who's this? How's this character fit? You know, like, there's still backstory to tell. Which is what I loved about this, and this completely renewed my interest in the series, is like being like, he can tell a story beyond what I saw in these first
It's turning it into more of a character-driven story, where you see the juxtaposition of Dashiell Bad Horse and Red Crow's daughter, and Gina and Red Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're starting to see, it's like, okay, there are these two generations that have similarities to them, but what they believe in and, you know, what the older generation had a very idealized look at what they could accomplish and what they could change, and the younger generation that is more jaded and is a little
looking
bit
out
darker.
For themselves a bit more as opposed to looking out for maybe the community. The thing I really enjoyed about it, I think the most, was it gave me more of a sense of this reservation and the community and what's gone on before we get to this story.
Yeah.
Which, in the first three issues, it was sort of all about Dashiell.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't really know... I mean, you were kind of entering into it blind. You didn't know the history of what he was coming back to. And you learned it a little bit.
You just knew that he was very, very angry.
But you didn't know why, exactly. And that's what it was sort of... Like, Tom, I was kind of getting a little tired of it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I don't understand exactly what's going on. I wasn't connected to the character very much. And this story completely, you know, sort of turned that around on me and gave me so much more information in a story that had nothing to do with Dashiell Bad Horse, but gave me that much more information about his character and why maybe he is the way he is, and at the same time illustrated, you know, why a lot of these characters act the way they have been acting in the last three issues.
Yeah, there's a a sad obsession with Dashiell in this issue that, I don't know. I guess anyone who's ever had a mild obsession with anyone would recognize this, that there's this past girlfriend that he just can't let go of, and the way that he expresses that obsession is through violence, and it's not glorified, it's not pleasant by any means, but you can definitely relate to it on some level, that he can't have this person, and what is most frustrating about it is that the person that he is obsessing about is not the person that he wants. He wants
right.
her to be something different, and that is so frustrating him that he...
The thing about that part of this book that I was sort of intrigued with was trying to figure out what his motivation for it was. I mean, I understand, you know, the obsession part of it and, you know, on the surface value, but it's like, what's the end result of what you're trying to accomplish?
He doesn't know.
Yeah, I know.
He wants her to be something different.
Yeah. But I almost felt like there was something else, that he had more of a plan in some way. But I don't know what that is yet. At least they haven't revealed it yet. So it was an extremely good issue. It was probably my favorite issue of the series so far.
It is an intensely really character-driven issue. And one of the other backstories is about a series of murders that happened some 20-odd years ago on the reservation. And there's a character that that ends up going to prison. It's a Lawrence, and I can't
remember. Bocamp.
But I actually emailed Jason about this and said, hey, I grew up in Marion, Illinois, which for a long time was known as the federal prison that Leonard Peltier was incarcerated at. And it's like, you know, is this character based on Leonard Peltier?
Yeah, that was immediately what I thought when I read about that character.
Yeah, and he emailed me back. It's like, definitely.
And if you don't know who Leonard Peltier is, go wiki it. Go
Wikipedia.
Google Leonard Peltier, and he is a Native American that, to a lot of people's thoughts, he is
unjustly
incarcerated for the murder of two federal agents. And this is going to come back in future issues of Scalped as they kind of explore this this character's incarceration. And you know, there is, you know, Scalped is one of those issues that you're getting your $2.99 worth. There's a lot there. And Jason Aaron is rapidly becoming a writer on the comic scene that you need to take.
He's
going to
be writing Wolverine.
I think Scalped is his best work, as much as I liked the other side. So check out Scalped. Scalped number 4, my top of the stack this week.
Can I throw in one?
No.
Just one.
No.
Just one.
No.
You got one.
No.
One quick one.
No.
I won't even say much about it other than... it was Civil War Initiative, or Avengers Initiative, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I read it, and then I didn't really like it at first, and then I read it again, and there was just some interesting things that were going on in that book that I thought were telling and will play out later in the Marvel Universe. The Peter Gyrick, the conversation he had in the beginning with the Gauntlet, and also the character MVP and his grandfather and that kind of stuff. So I just, because we always talk about like DC and how they kind of, you know, go back to their own history and use some of that, you know, stuff to make their story stronger. I thought in this book, Dan Slott kind of did that with some of this, and there were some interesting things going on in that book that we'll see, you know, what the ramifications of that are later on. So I just want to throw that out there. That was it.
Wow. All right. I guess Sal had two top of the stacks.
So, not me this week.
Is that okay?
No. But Dark Tower
was
good.
You pick however many you want. No. I'm not going to even mention what else I buy.
We know
a lot of stuff.
We know what you buy.
It was a strong week.
There was a lot. I got Absolute Long Halloween.
Did you really?
Oh, nice.
Is it good? Is it nice?
It's your hardcore.
It's like all the Absolutes. It's fucking gorgeous. It's awesome. It's beautiful. And I got, no, that was it. I got
two copies of that.
No, I just got the one.
Our contest.
It's nice. It's
we're gonna have a long Halloween contest.
No, we're not. But we need to have a new contest. We haven't had a contest in a while.
You know, Cameron over at InStock Trades
wants to do a contest.
I think he is going to be the official sponsor.
We need some. I finally sent out the winning.
Stuff I beat you.
I got
the confirmation from the guy who said thanks for the. I was like, thank you.
I finally sent out.
I got a few things I got to get out in the mail.
What do you owe?
I'm going to send Bam, my Queen and Country Trades.
Oh, well, but that's not contest winners. That's just stuff.
Yeah, the Exterminators contest.
You still haven't sent that out?
Jesus Christ.
What have you been doing?
Are you serious?
What are you, like, at home masturbating over the Toni Moore sketch or something?
God damn, that contest was like 7 months ago.
Why have you not got that out?
It's going out Monday.
It better.
Okay.
What are you even waiting on?
If it doesn't go out on Monday.
What?
If it doesn't go out on Monday, bring it here on Friday and I'll fucking.
What the hell, dude?
You gotta send it to England.
Oh.
Sorry, Waz.
Oh, well.
Jesus Christ.
Bitter about the loss. We lost that war. we won.
What war are you talking about?
I don't know.
Are we
French
done?
And Indian? No,
sure. We're done. That's enough.
Yeah,
Let's talk about more comics.
No.
Okay. They're spent.
I'm tired.
I could talk about. Well, you're tired. You've only been here for.
I've been here half the night.
Oh, I've been here for a really long time. Don't even start.
All your life. What else did I buy?
Hey, what are the hard covers?
Sal's looking through his little treasure trove of comic goodness. Want to let everyone know that you can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. You can do that by taking us up on the Listener LCS Challenge. There are details about that at aroundcomics.com. You can also become our virtual friend at comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can also do that at MySpace. It's www.myspace.com/aroundcomics. And my personal favorite is the iTunes Music Review. Special thanks to Nito03, Arutek, and Shane White. Gave us all very nice reviews in the last week.
Thank you.
It's the March to 100.
March to 100.
Jesus.
Gentlemen. Sherman's March to 100.
I need 8 more people. Give me 8 more people.
We're at 93. We need 7 more people.
I'm an iTunes whore.
Right.
We had some
Frapper mappers this week. Mm-hmm. We had Tyson Robbins from College Place, Washington. He said, Walla Walla, Washington, home of Adam West and overpriced wine.
Where's that overpriced Ooh. Adam West and wine?
Well, Adam West could never be overpriced, my friend.
I heard he is overpriced at conventions.
He's priceless. Post-Nuclear Gnome from Pittsburgh, PA. Great show, guys. See you at the Pittsburgh Con.
We're not going to know you.
You won't.
I think you might have us confused with another podcast.
Yeah, you guys, you're on something because I'm not going to Pittsburgh.
Scope from Perth, Australia. He said, AC, funniest comics-related podcast on the web. Another Australian. Thank you, Scope.
Thank you, Australia.
Brandon Schatz from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. He said, I discovered Around Comics from the Crankcast, so they do accomplish something.
Nice.
Hey, did you listen to the most recent where Scotty Young has been listening to us, like, nonstop for, like, 2 weeks?
That's frightening.
I think it's really creepy. Yeah.
Scotty Young's been listening to our show?
Here's the thing, though. He's going to listen to it, and he started from the beginning, so when he hears this, it means that he's about a month behind, which means I'm talking to you.
Why is he? Is he obsessed? He's obsessed with our show. All of a sudden,
whatever you do tomorrow, do not get into a car.
You're gonna feel really bad if Scotty Young gets in a car accident.
That's the magic of editing.
Oh, yes. Why is he's just obsessed with listening to our show?
Well, no, is obsessed with obviously someone who has a lot of free time to listen to shit because I don't even fucking listen to us. We do need to get Scotty on the show.
Scotty is a nut.
Absolutely.
Well, here's the thing: we can invite him now, but he's not going to know about it until
for a month,
four months from now.
That's good. Okay, Scotty Young in June.
Scotty, come to the future. Grab my hand.
Oh, Jesus. I sent Mike Norton an email the other day because my sister bought me a iPod alarm clock for my birthday. And if you just put your iPod in
this is effed up.
It'll just, like, pick a random song and play it to wake you up. So, like, Wednesday or Thursday, I woke up
before you go.
I woke up to the Crankcast talking about
Gold Walking.
Oh wow!
And Norton's like, "Oh, sorry, dude."
That's horrible.
It was interesting. Yeah. This morning I woke up, but I had planned this. Actually, I woke up to Indie Spinner Rack talking with Alan Moore because I've been wanting to listen to that episode for a while. So
yeah,
it was good.
You totally rubbed one out to it.
Oh, I just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sexy.
I'm so jealous of Charlito and Phil. Those bastards. Hey, folks, I want to...
I'm jealous that Phil's always wearing a tie.
I'm really more jealous of Alan Moore.
I know. But I'm wearing a tie right now. It's the magic of radio. I'm not.
You're so not wearing a tie.
That's quite the double Windsor you have.
Tom is dressed in all black.
He's the man in black.
I'm the man in black. Where there's injustice, I'll show up.
Hey, all right, check out all the great things that Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicpodcast.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays under form at aroundcomics.com.
We don't know what we're talking about next week, but Chris Marshall's going to be here.
Chris Marshall.
Magic.
Magic.
Dude, I'm going to be... I'm telling you... If you haven't noticed, as the episodes have gone along from about January 1st, I've become more strung out. Next week, yes. I'm just going to be like... frantic. Yeah, I'm just screaming.
We've been talking about a few different things. We've been talking about, top things that you'd like to see in trades, because Chris Marshall is like the trade meister.
He's
Meister Burger, Meister
Trade.
The Meister Trade.
You can buy all those trades at Borders. And thank you again for Borders for sponsoring our show. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting your local Borders store. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner at the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. And check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Thanks to Mark at Darktar for hosting us as always.
Even though he wasn't here.
We've been sitting in an empty comic shop for like 4 hours.
You know what's more depressing than a comic shop? An empty comic shop. And we've been sitting here for a long time.
We've been here.
Old books.
Oh.
My girlfriend's going to go crazy when I get home.
Ode to book.
You smell...
Ode to pulp.
You smell like DC 100 pages.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's going to love it.
Yeah, she knows the smell of that. Yeah.
You smell like garbage.
You smell like your closet.
Why do you smell like your closet? That's actually a running joke in our household. You smell like old book. Better than booze, huh?
Hey, we got a double shot coming up this week.
Yes, Richard Starkings.
We couldn't shut him up.
He likes to talk.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you weren't there, Tom. You missed out.
I was in the background, but... I thought it would be over quick.
He's an interesting guy.
Richard Starkings knows everyone.
He does. I swear to God, he seems to know everyone that's ever written or drawn a comic, or letter, or chance that Richard Starkings delivered my mail.
Because he knows so many people. He's done so much.
Anyway, we're gonna break it into two episodes. Mm-hmm. The first episode is very much about sort of his history in Britain and a history of British comics, almost to some degree.
Just about.
And then
he broke it off drinking pints
with Warren Ellis and Alan Moore.
The second half is going to be about Elephant Man and Hip Flask and that whole thing. So check it out. Check out both of them. He's a very interesting guy, and we had fun talking to him. So
that's it. And
in the meantime.
In between time.
Oh.
I kind of missed you up for that one, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
Reverse it.
All right. Anyway.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around.
Comics.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and love?